Well, hello again this week. We're continuing in this season that he's given us on being laser focused, coming into revival. I hope you've been listening to the previous messages. Again, he had me for several months teaching the article section of the website, but right at the first of the year, he changed it and wanted me to teach again on becoming laser focused. And when I started doing that, he said again to me, right around the first of the year, "Gary, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. And when you think you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more." And I've heard that many times in the past, but this year, let me get my list here. He gave me 7 ways that he intended, or let's say it this way, 7 ways that anybody can humble themselves more if you're serious about it. And so first, here's the seven ways he gave me. I'd never heard that until this year. Number one, humble yourself by believing the word of God. Now, we've taught already on most of these. We're just going through them one by one. Humble yourself through fasting. We've taught on that. We're still in the first quarter of the year. Dave would always teach a lot on fasting. So we kind of call the first quarter our fasting season, although we're supposed to lead fasted lives. Number three is humble yourself by praying. We've taught on that. Humble yourself by listening. Humble yourself by obeying. Humble yourself through worship. And number 7 is humble yourself by choosing my thoughts and rejecting yours. Now, last week we focused on humble yourself by listening and obeying. And I thought this week we would move on into humble yourself by worship. But he kept bringing a scripture to me again and reminded me again of the laser focus. Now, I've got a little laser pen here. Again, I've got my Bible. What does it mean to be laser focused? All right, let me do it again here. See that dot? Yeah, but I hear crashing and banging from over there that's trying to draw my attention. Yeah, but we're supposed to be laser focused. Yeah, but over to the left, can't you hear the people screaming and crying and there's all kinds of agony? There's things going on. But are you laser focused? Are you laser focused on revival like he's been talking to us about? When I started seeking him myself about becoming laser focused, that's when he started talking to me about humbling yourself. And so I've been working on all of these myself. And I thought, again, that we were going to go this week into worship, and we might next week, we'll see. But he wanted me to remain on the area of obeying. You know, last week, really, the bulk of the time, we talked about listening. And, of course, you do have to listen to the Lord. Now, the Lord speaks to us several ways. One way, of course, is out of the Word. You know, I can hardly ever pick up the Word of God anywhere. What I mean is Old Testament, New Testament. Begin reading that the Lord doesn't start speaking to me. Usually some area of my life, you know, that I need to change or do something. So his written word is alive. The Bible plainly says that the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So you get direction and you can hear God by just directly from reading, hearing the written word of God. But see, there's also a leadership that comes by the Spirit that you can't get any other way. Now, see, for example, last week we talked about Paul and Silas after they had finished an assignment and they didn't know what to do next. And, you know, if you just go, see, the way I was raised, it was in church. I mean, it was pretty much just the Word. There was very little about, they didn't deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, but in a way they did because they didn't teach on interacting with Him very much. You know, him is a he, not an it. You know, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, not it. He is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. And anyway, the way I was raised, if you felt the call, for example, let's say just to be a missionary, you just take the written word, my brother. You know, go ye into all the world. You China maybe, or you just pick a place, or you might pray about it and whatever settles. But really, it's more led by your mind and what you decide to do. See, Paul and Silas, it wasn't that way. They could have decided to go to Bithynia. They thought about it. Maybe we should go to Asia at first. They thought, you know, Asia needs the word of God. But see, the Spirit forbade it. He didn't just not recommend it. He forbade it. What? Wait a minute. I've got chapter and verse. Go ye into all the world. Isn't Asia a part of the world? Yes, it is. Well, then I'm going to Asia, my brother. I've heard from God. Well, they could have done that. You know, eventually God, you know, they did go to Asia, but when it was the timing of the Lord, see, Jesus is alive and well. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is the actual king of the kingdom. And it still comes down to, Lord, what would you have me do? But he speaks to us now by the way of the Holy Spirit. So we focused last week on listening. And just like Paul and Silas, they thought about going to Asia. No. Well, Asia's in the world, but still it wasn't the mind of the Lord right now. What about Bithynia? Them Bithynians need the gospel? Yeah, they do. But that's not where the Lord wants you to go next. See, and it's not always words. This time, the Holy Spirit communicated by way of a vision in the night. And whether that was a dream or Paul was awake and had a vision during the night, I don't know. But it came by way of a picture. And he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You know, I always say, you know, I think you and I would get that one. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to go to Macedonia. See, that is the leadership that comes by way of the Holy Spirit. And that is what has been so lacking in the body of Christ. And in my, you know, I thank God for Pastor Dave that after I got to know him a little bit, after we'd been coming to the prayer center for a while, he told me, Gary, you've got good training in the Word. And I did. I had good foundation in the what's called the Word of Faith. And I had a good foundation in that. But he said, Gary, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, because not everything that presents itself to you, like Bithynia, like Asia, these are opportunities. Not everything is the will of God. There's a timing of God. You need to don't ever lose your foundational, you know, Word of Faith teaching, Mark 11:23-24, you know, all of those foundational teachings. Don't lose that, because it's absolutely truth. But what you need to do is couple that with the leadership that comes by way of the Holy Spirit. And again, I say that, but it's not really the Holy Spirit who's come to be your Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who now brings us the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus doesn't speak now from his physical lips to your physical ear. No, he speaks in heaven. It says, refuse not him who speaketh from heaven. He still speaketh, not spoketh. Well, it's both. He spoketh and he speaketh. See, refuse not him. Well, it's hard not to refuse him if you don't hear him. But see, the Holy Spirit brings what he hears. It says he's not going to speak on his own. What he hears, that's what he speaks to you. Well, he's come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. So last week we talked about, hang on a minute. Last week we talked about we could call it almost the radio frequency within you, where the Holy Spirit speaks. And over time, I understood why Dave taught the way that he taught on distinguishing God's voice. Because if you can pray in tongues, you are already able to hear God, because you can't speak in tongues without hearing God. Because those syllables, you didn't create them. It plainly says it's your spirit speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit giving the utterance. Well, that means he's the one creating every syllable. Yet somehow you're speaking them. Well, how does that happen? There's a transfer from his spirit to your spirit. That's the place. That's the radio frequency. That's where you tune the dial right there. That place in you where you can perceive, hear those syllables in order to speak them. That's the same place in you where you hear him in your known language, whatever language you speak. I'll just go one step further. That place in you is also where the visions come. And they're different. Especially, I'm talking about the little teaching visions that he gives all the time. Explanations. That place in you is where those come. And it's a little different from your natural mind. I can generate all kinds of things in my natural thinker. I can just come up with all kinds of things. But it's not the same. And I don't know how to others else to explain it. Just by practice, you recognize that place. Okay, that's him. That's him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm just reviewing a little bit. We've all taken our trips to the barber shop, and if you don't know what I mean by that, listen to last week's message. But you know, sure, there's time still yet where I think I heard God and I act on it, and it turns out it wasn't God. You know, but I'm telling you, those times are far and few between now. How did they go from happening a lot to very few experience? I don't know how else to say it. You see, the person that never acts, you know, fear just keeps you paralyzed, I guess. Fear of missing God, whatever it is. If you don't ever act on what you hear, you're never going to learn. If you don't take your trips to the barber shop, it's going to be harder for you to discern what is him and what's not him. Pastor Dave would say, listen, we've all had our trips to the barbershop where we thought it was God and it wasn't God. All right, so anyway, I'm going to stop right there. There's a lot more on last week's lesson. I hope you did that. We finished last week pretty much talking about the rich young ruler. Remember him? And you got to remember, this was before the resurrection. This was before you could be born again. This rich young ruler was born under the law, and he had done his best to keep the law. Now, nobody perfectly kept it, but the system then was, again, if you miss it, if you sin, well, then you, according to the law, you offer the appropriate sacrifice. And once that's done, then you're good. You and the law, you're okay. So, you know, what he comes to Jesus, good master, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And what lack I yet, you know? So Jesus quotes several commandments to him, and he says, well, I've done all these from my youth. And the Lord didn't correct him. Like, no, you haven't. You know? And really, that says the Lord looked at him and loved him. This was a good young man. He's his whole life. Now, he couldn't hear God directly. Nobody in the old, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, if you wanted to hear God, you went to the priest, the prophet, or on occasion the king, but usually the priest or the prophet. Or you'd go to a synagogue where they would read from the law, because, you know, people didn't have their own copies at home. It was too expensive. And that's how you'd hear God. But this rich young ruler probably had never heard God in his life. I don't know how much he understood what was going on, but when he's standing there in front of Jesus, he is standing before God. For the first time in his life, he is hearing directly from God. And see, this is what most people, when they first come to the prayer center, and whether it was Dave or me or Alan, whoever it is, they approach and go, I've got a problem. What's your problem? Well, my problem is I can't hear God. Well, we have an answer for that. We'll epoxy your britches to a chair, begin praying and, you know, listen to these messages by Dave and do what's on them. In about 6 months, maybe a few months, I don't want to put a time limit, but a little later on, you're going to have a bigger problem. Really? What's going to be my problem then? Your problem then will be, I heard God. You're not going to believe what he said to me. I said, well, does it sound impossible? Yes, it does. Well, that's probably him. See, and that's, in a way, that's what's happening to this rich young ruler. I have no doubt his whole life he'd say, oh, it'd be wonderful to hear from God directly. Oh, I'd love to. It's obvious he loved God. He was From his youth, he'd kept the law. He'd done his best. Now, again, nobody's perfect, but he had done his best. Him and the law were good. Well, why was he doing that? He loved God. No doubt I'm sure he had thoughts, you know, like, oh, I'd love to hear directly from God. It'd be wonderful to hear from God. You know, it's nice to hear the law read. I'd like to hear God like Moses did, you know. I'd like to hear God. He does. I don't know how much he realized it, but his prayer has been answered. He is hearing directly from God. He's hearing from the Lord Jesus himself. Such a type and a shadow of us in the kingdom. It's like a preview of us. When you go into prayer and you hear God. Now, I'm hearing God. Yay, rich young ruler. Yay. What did he tell you? You won't believe what he told me. He told me to sell all that I have, to give it to the poor. Just give it to them. Then I'd have treasure in heaven and I could come follow him. But did you do that? No, I didn't do that. He had a bigger problem. And this, I found this to be the case in my own life. I mean, sometimes you hear God, it's okay, I can do that. Give $10 to Joe Blow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Forgive so-and-so. It might take you a while to work out that forgiveness, but you forgive so-and-so. You know, it's some levels, it's, but then what if he was to say to you, which he doesn't say to everybody. He didn't say that to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus gave away half of his fortune and restored fourfold what he'd stolen, but he didn't give away everything. See, that's why you can't make a cookie cutter gospel. I don't need to hear God. I've just got the word. Uh-huh. Well, the word says, give to every man that asks of thee. Okay. All right. You going to make that a formula, are you? Well, what about the young Jewish, the prodigal, the young man that had left home, squandered all of his inheritance, lived a life of sin and debauchery, got so hungry, he took a job feeding the pigs. And even then got so hungry, he thought about putting his face in the feeding trough with the pigs. Now, you don't get a whole lot lower than that. For, you know, and what if somebody given money to him? You know, it plainly says, and no man gave unto him. And in the margin of my Bible, I wrote, thank God. Thank God nobody. See, this young man needed to come to the end of himself. Some people got to hit bottom. Some people got to hit bottom and bounce a time or two. That's apparently was the way it was with him. But suddenly he had a revelation. See, hunger is a great motivator. You know, I need to return to my father's house. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is you can't just take the word and substitute that for the leadership that comes only by the Holy Spirit. Paul could have studied the word, the written word, till his brains rolled out on the floor. And he never would have understood. Don't go to Asia right now. Don't go to Bithynia right now. I want you to go to this place right now, Macedonia. That's not in the written word. See, there's not, I've used this over the years, but there's, you know, I wish there was a book of Gary in a way. I really don't anymore. I used to say this. I wish there was a book of Gary where I could turn to chapter 77. I'm 77 years old. The book of Gary, chapter 77. Aha! And then there's the dates. And on February, whatever. Gary will be doing this and this and this. Ah, yay. But see, there is a book of Gary. It's in the mind of Christ. The only way I'll ever get it is from the Holy Ghost. I just want to go pray now, see? I just want to go pray. But now the point with the rich young ruler, see, his prayer has been answered. He is hearing from God. You do what those messages that Pastor Dave Roberson taught us all. And again, daveroberson.org. There's a wealth, a college curriculum, if you'll allow me, of information there that if you'll just digest and put in practice what's there, you'll get to the place where you hear God. Just a minute. You'll get to the place where you hear God. Then, what if it's like the rich young ruler? See, he heard directly from God. He heard directly. This is what I want you to do. And he was not able to do it. The character, he did not have the character within himself to obey what he was hearing. This is, and God understood, God loved this young man. Don't worry about him. He's okay. The new birth wasn't available to him yet. And anyway. So as I was up and early about praying and, you know, do I go on? Today it was like, no, we're not going to leave that place of obedience yet. Because, how do I say this nicely? See, when it comes to worship, did you know you can worship God in vain? Again, I didn't look scriptures up. I only have one verse he let me look up ahead of time. We'll get to it in a minute. Did you know he says, in vain, these people, they do worship me. And it was because of their hypocrisy. He says they say, but they don't do. Or sometimes they even change the word of God with their traditions to make it fit what they want instead of what God said. Hypocrisy, I'm going to say a different way, lack of obedience, even when you know the truth. See, there's a difference between hypocrisy and ignorance. And you can be destroyed just for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, okay? But still, ignorance is one thing. Hypocrisy is way worse. Hypocrisy is when you know the truth, but by your own choice, you disobey the truth. I think that's where we are today, yes, sir. All right, so now it's time to read the verse. And now this is very familiar. Everybody that talks about revival talks about this verse. You can go ahead and look at it, though, because it's so true. Second Chronicles chapter 7, yes, verse 14, because the subject right now is humility, isn't it? And specifically, humble yourself by obeying. Obeying. Humble yourself by obeying. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 in my King James Biblical, as Dave would say. If my people, now see, we're not talking about the world here. We're talking about the church. More specifically, we're talking about you. More specifically, we're talking about Gary. If my people, see, my people is made up of persons. My people collectively means persons individually have to do this. That's not enough for one or two, although God does honor a remnant. Thank God for the Daniel, and I'm sure, and the Hebrew children, and I'm sure there were others that during the time of the occupation, the time of their captivity, these men followed God. As far as I can tell, they never did rebel against God. But that didn't change the fact they were under judgment at the time. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, America is going through a judgment right now. Well-deserved. Well-deserved. And revival starts with a remnant. Revival starts with individuals. Persons make up the people. If my people, which are called by my name, Christian, you're called by his name. Now notice the first thing. Everything that follows here is part of humbling. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Well, how would I do that? Well, one way is to pray. We taught on that last week. Pray. Notice and seek my face. Can I just say that's the blueprint? Come away with me, my beloved. That is the blueprint right there. They'll pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, seek my face, get in, turn from their wicked ways. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees, he wasn't doing it to be mean to them. Jesus never acted out of love. Even anger, when he would have anger, it was love trying to rescue people from hell. Jesus told them straight, to the point it made them so mad they wound up putting him on a cross. They wanted to murder him. But he would talk to them, "You whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers, you extortionists, you devour widows' houses." he would talk to them straight. But see, he was trying to get them to turn from their wicked ways. And one of the primary wicked ways was hypocrisy. I didn't look it up, but that verse where he tells his disciples, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "For they say, but they don't do." They say, but they don't do. See, James in his letter warns so much about that. He says, "Be you doers of the word and not hearers only." Well, that's not only the written word. You got to be a doer of what he tells you. Wouldn't it have been okay for Paul and Silas to see the vision, hear God, know he wants us to go to Macedonia, but we're going to Bithynia anyway? What? Who is Lord there? That's not making Jesus your Lord. That's not doing what he says. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Sound familiar? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If my people, which is made up of persons, which is made up of Gary, which is made up of you, if you will humble yourself, humble yourself. Humble yourself. And when you think you can't humble yourself anymore, then humble yourself some more. Now, in this case, he says, and pray and seek my face. Again, what I would like to do if we had, hours, I'd like to just get out the blueprint right now and just read it. Just read it all. There's 10 in the initial blueprint prophecies. I believe there's 10 of them. But if you boil it all down, it's that right there. They'll pray and seek my face. Come away with me, he says again and again. Spend time in my word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fasting. Spend time in worship. When it says turn from their wicked ways, a big part of that is hypocrisy. Yes, sir. My goodness. The other day I was just up praying. See if I can find this list. It came real quick. Give me just a moment. Yep, there it is. I was just in my own meditation going through this process myself, and I knew that when he says, turn from your wicked ways, well, that could be all kinds of things. You know, dear God, if you're still at this stage involved in fornication or adultery or pornography or theft or anything like that, dear God, that's, gross sin. Get out of that quick, But a more common wicked way is hypocrisy. And that the Pharisees were looked up to by the people as being the standard of righteousness. They were the pinnacle. You want to be like them. But boy, Jesus didn't want us to be like them. He said, beware the leaven. That's the doctrine. Beware, or the practice of the Pharisees. For they, it wasn't their doctrine, it was their practice. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For they say, but they do not do. So one morning I was meditating right there, and I heard, be a doer of the word. Okay. Then here comes these questions. I took them personally. I didn't even know I'd ever read this list to you. Okay. I took it personally. Gary, do you pray? Do you fast? Do you speak the word only? Do you share your testimony when you have opportunity? Do you resist sin? Do you present your body holy to the Lord for his use? Holy. Gary, Do you worship? Have you assimilated the word? Have you learned to meditate in whole images? Got to be careful of that. You can slip back in if you, even after you have a lot of years of practice, if you're not careful. You can take a verse out of its setting and come up with something weird. Be careful. Here's another one. He asked me, have you obeyed every personal instruction you have received directly from the Lord or through prophecy? At the time when this list came, I had been teaching on stewarding the pound. So he asked me, he said, well, do you invest the pound? What investments you got going? Are you occupying till I come? Do you, you know, you teach this, are you doing it? See, turning from your wicked ways can be hypocrisy. Things that you know to do, but are you doing them? Last week, I'm not going to do it again. I don't think it's in reach, but I kept holding up the calendar thing. And I don't know how many took it to heart. But I'm going to say it again. There is no such thing as change without change. If you don't plan, schedule, how you're going to, when, on what day and what time you're going to increase your prayer life, you're most likely not going to increase it. You have good intentions, that's nice, but that doesn't change anything. If you don't plan when you're going to fast, most likely you're not going to. You know, well, I was going to fast more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't count, does it? See, the rich young ruler, now I'm not a scholar. Some people think that later on, he did get born again. And, you know, if you go over in the book of Acts, where there was this young man that sold a big property and brought it and laid it, because they were going through extreme persecution at the time. You read it in Hebrews. Their goods were being confiscated. Some of them were being put in prison. Saul was doing some of that before he became Paul. In fact, he was the main one doing that before he became Paul. But persecution not only from Rome, but also from the religious Jews, the same Pharisees that came after Jesus. Well, they came after the Christians, made life really tough. So, people that had land and property would sell some of it, you know, and they'd bring the price of it and distribute it to whoever had need. Well, some people think that Barnabas is this rich young ruler. I'm not scholar enough to know that. But see, once you get born again, yes, sir. Boy, see, I saw a conjunction right there. If you listened to the teachings from a few months ago where he was having me go through all of those teaching articles, and I'm talking about from sharecropper to sonship. See, the end result of all that teaching is Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And after hearing everything that the Lord taught there, the disciples themselves are going, Lord, you got to increase our faith. Please increase our faith. And he tells them that your faith is going, it doesn't happen overnight. You couldn't just zap, okay, your faith is increased. No, it works the same way that a seed does. And he uses the tiniest little seed like a mustard seed. But the reason he does that is because even in that littlest of seeds, there is a full-grown image. The mustard plant in Israel is a plant that grows to be about 15 feet tall. Well, that's, I'm just a little over 5 feet tall, 5'5", I think. Now, I used to be 5'8". Gravity is having its effect. But anyway, it'd be roughly three times as tall as me. Well, what? That came out of this little seed that looks like the size of a pepper grain? But it's the image. See, and that's what he's teaching them. When you get born again, within that new nature is the full image of Christ. Well, his nature is to serve. I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that's why we need an increase of our faith. He says you're going to have to allow the maturity of Christ, the seed within you, when you get born again. You've got to allow that servant's heart to come to maturity. Well, what do you mean by that? And he illustrates it. He said, listen, which of you having a servant, after he's done the job that he's been assigned, whether it's milking cows, plowing the field, planting the corn, whatever it is, when he comes in at the end of the day, see, a really first-class servant doesn't just go in and go clean up and eat. First, he's going to come to the master, and he's going to say, Master, is there anything else you need? I finished my, you know, my daily job here, but is there anything else you need? And said, first, he will make sure that all the needs of the master are met. Then he'll go and eat his portion. And even then, his heart will be, well, I've just done my duty. This is what I do. This is, and you see, you don't even really thank that servant, but he's just doing that which is his duty to do. And I didn't understand that for the longest time. And remember, he asked me one day, when was the last, where it says, does he thank that servant? I trow not. And I thought that was a little harsh. And he asked me, when was the last time you thanked your hand for obeying your mind? And I went, I don't thank you, hand. I don't thank my hand for obeying my mind. My hand is just part of me. And at that moment, all those verses about we are the body of Christ. My hand does not do what it does for personal profit. It doesn't negotiate with me. It's like, I'll obey you if I'm going to get a hundredfold return. Am I going to get a ring? I need a ring. See, there's no ring. Maybe I need a ring for each finger, you know. Maybe I need to name my seed. Before I obey you, I'm going to name my harvest. I need a ring finger right here. I need a ring on this finger right here, you know. I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes there. It's ridiculous, see. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, humble themselves, pray. First, the first level of humbling yourself is pray. Seek his face, not his hand. Seek his face. This is called intimacy. This is the blueprint. This is come away with me. Well, in that process, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal areas to you where you're either flat wrong on your doctrine, like, dear God, I can testify to that. So much of what I thought to be true when I began this process with Pastor Dave all those years ago, at the time, things I thought were true, dear Lord Jesus, you know, he's had to straighten me out. But then also hypocrisy, you know, hypocrisy where you know that. I said, yes, sir. See, I said earlier, it's ignorance is one thing. Ignorance, you can be destroyed still for lack of knowledge. But see, ignorance is one thing. Hypocrisy is way worse, because that's where you know the truth. You know what the word says. You know what the truth is. But you're choosing not to obey it anyway. Man, that's wicked. Just call it what it is. That's where you're going to be Lord. I'm telling you, I'm going to be Lord. I don't care what the word says. I don't care what the Holy Ghost told me in prayer. I'm going to do what I want. Yes, sir. Oh, man. Okay, let's go all the way back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. This was within a month or so of me getting, getting filled with the Holy Ghost way back in 1980. This is long before, 12 years before we ever met Dave or heard anything about Dave. But even then, just so in love with God, freshly born again, freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost. Didn't know hardly anything, but you can hear from God. And I was just reading. Remember, I told you earlier, one way he does speak to you is through his word. And I came to that part where it says, if you don't forgive every person their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against him. And I went, because remember, and I don't want to reteach this whole thing, but man, there was two people that I did not want to forgive. And to me, in my mind, they had done me terrible, had hurt me terribly, and I didn't want to forgive them. There's nothing in me wanted to forgive them. And the Holy Ghost began talking to me right out of the Word. And he says, I said, well, I don't want to forgive them. And he says, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't. Well, I want to go far with you. I love you. I love you, Lord. So when he's talking to the Holy Ghost, you're really talking to Jesus. His Holy Spirit is the agency by which that communication happens. I love you, Lord. I want to go far with you. He said, well, you're not going to go very far unless you forgive them. Lord, I don't want to forgive them. I look on the inside of me. Not only do I not want to forgive them, I want them to die and I want to do the killing. It was bad. Remember, I'd only been born again a month or two. Well, again, he just, you know the thing about God? He won't change for you. His word won't change. I like how Pastor Dave would say, he said, now this is really good news. The good news is God won't ever change. The devil won't ever change. God's word won't ever change. But the good news is you can change. Thank God. See, I'm face to face in a way with the Lord in that conversation. I mean, can you see that? And he's telling me what he wants. And I'm resisting. I'm kind of like the rich young ruler. I'm hearing from the Lord. He's going, well, I want you to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. Well, without going through, he gave me the most simplest thing. He said, I said, Lord, he asked me the question. He said, because I said, I'm just not willing to do it. He says, well, would you be willing to be made willing? My engineering brain. Okay, I'm not willing now, but if you could make me willing, yes, I would be willing. So, you know. Yes, how would that happen? And he says, every time you think of them, just ask me to bless them. That's all, just that. Just ask me to bless them. Now here we're talking about obedience. You ever tried not to think about somebody? I thought of them. All right, I still remember the first time. I called their name out before him. I said, all right, Lord, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them. And I said this, I said, and you know I don't really mean it. I did not want to be a hypocrite. And I knew he already knew I didn't want to. He didn't say a word. It was like, okay. But I see, obedience. We're talking about humble yourself by obedience. Well, long story short, every time I'd think of him, I would ask the Lord to bless him. And at first I'd add that, and you know I don't mean it. But it was amazing. It didn't take very long, over the course of just a few days, because you think of them pretty often, at least I did then. And I'd ask the Lord to bless them. It's amazing. My heart began to change. He began to open up my understanding of the whole situation, that really, starting this process, I thought they were 100% wrong and I was 100% right. But he began showing me my part in the whole thing. And before it was over, I was way more wrong than they were. Now, that's not always the case, but in this case, it was. I was almost crying out for mercy more for me than I was for them. Do you think I'd be in full-time ministry today if I had disobeyed that? I don't think so. I don't. If I was, it would not be the same that it is now. Would not have his heart, his mind, to the degree that I have. And I have a lot more to conquer, don't get me wrong. But I thank God that I obeyed that simple instruction. It wasn't easy at the time. Yes, sir. See, Saul had it correctly. The day he got converted, the very day that he, had his Damascus Road experience and a blinding light and the sound of a voice, and he fell off the horse and he's blinded, and I mean, what an experience. Who are you? And I am Jesus, the very one you're persecuting. And then the next thing he said was so profound. Saul said, Lord, see, he just now, okay, you're Jesus, The first thing, next thing he says is, Lord, what would you have me do? And that's the rest of Paul's life. And that should be the rest of our life from the day we first meet him. Lord, what would you have me do? And the rich young ruler, he didn't use those words, but basically, Lord, what would you have me do? Well, in his case, sell all you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. And he disobeyed, okay? See, you're going to get, and those instructions, I don't see anywhere else in the New Testament where Jesus ever told anybody else to do that. He didn't tell Zacchaeus to do that. Zacchaeus was a rich man that Jesus came into his house, and by the time that discussion was over, Zacchaeus gave away half of his goods and restored fourfold what he had stolen. Jesus didn't tell him the same thing he told the rich young ruler. Now, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I mean, we never did finish the verse. Then, boy, if you underline in your Bible, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And it doesn't matter what it was. Remember, King David was an adulterer and a murderer. Yet, no doubt he's in heaven. And, I mean, Jesus is on the throne of David. We don't have time to teach about that. Man. But I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, if America, if we don't have this, America's done for. It's just done for. But I'm not really teaching about America today. I'm talking about humbling ourselves. See, the rich young ruler got, once he could hear from the Lord, he got instructions directly from the Lord that we don't find, you know, anybody else getting those exact same instructions. When Sue and I were going into full-time ministry, we received some instructions from the Lord that were different than I'd ever heard any other. In other words, the way he was telling us to function was different than I'd never heard of any other ministry operating that way. I mean, those were the days, again, when money was staying away in great abundance, and I was just learning the most rudimentary things about God and just trying to get to know him at all. But all I'd ever seen was, well, this is how, ministers, you take up tithes, you take up offerings, you sell your tapes, that type of thing. You write books and sell books, That's how the money comes in. And and appeal letters, you can let people know what you're doing. Just be honest about it. This is what we're doing. If you want to help, this is how you can help. I wasn't against any of those things. In fact, I was planning on doing those things. Well, everybody else was, but the thing of it is, I made the mistake of praying and seeking his face. I'm teasing. It's not a mistake. I wound up doing what Dave said. And it, sure enough, we got instructions from the Lord. I'd never heard anybody. He said, in the first meetings we had, we're here in our living room with a Bible study. That's the very first thing he ever had us doing. It's the only thing we had going in the earth. And I was planning on passing a hat, Except the Lord said, don't do it. I don't want you to take up any offerings from these people. Okay. All right. Then he started telling us to make cassette recordings of every service. Ah, my lightning quick mind, Okay, that'll be a start, Well, if they want a copy of the cassette tape, well, everybody else sells their cassette tapes, so we'll start selling those. Except he said, I want you to give them all away free. What? Then somebody asked for two tapes to send to their sister who lived up in Minnesota or somewhere up in Yankee Land, And So my lightning quick mind again, I'm thinking, okay, well, mailing tapes. Okay, we'll sell him the tapes, or, you know, and if he doesn't let me sell them, at least I can put in a return envelope, you know, like everybody else does. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to sell them. I want you to pay the postage, and I don't want you even putting in a return envelope. So then, you know, money is staying away in great abundance. Anyway, am I going to obey the instructions or not? See? So then the last one was appeal letters, you know, because, man, I mean, the finances were bad and getting worse every day. And, we were getting appeal letters all the time from other ministries, big ministries, multi-million-dollar ministries. But they don't have any problem telling you what they're doing and asking you for gifts, you know. And so I was thinking about an appeal letter. Of course, our mailing list would have been, 12 people? Maybe 20. It wouldn't have been very many people. But again, my lightning quick brain, see, this is, you know, getting to the problem right here. Excuse me, just a moment. My lightning quick brain. Okay. I'll send an appeal letter out. And boy, then what he said to me. He said, never let another person know any need that you ever have, either personally or the needs of the ministry. If you will faithfully obey these instructions that I've given you, then I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the ministry. Well, I want you to know that was over a quarter century ago, and he's been doing exactly that. We've never to this day sold a tape. We've never sent out an appeal letter. You'll never know any needs that we personally have or that the ministry has. Now, again, I am not against any of those things, and I'm not saying people that do that are in disobedience. I am saying I would be in disobedience because he's never changed those instructions. He's never given me a different direction, and as long as he doesn't, we're sticking with that. And see, that's called obedience. Gary, have you been obedient in every area? Oh, dear God, no, I have not. I wish I was. I've been transparent with you. Probably my weakest area in my life has been fasting. And thank God I had an epiphany. I had a come to Jesus moment a few years ago out of Matthew 9 when he brought forth that truth out of when John the Baptist disciples came and said, you know, we've noticed that the Pharisees' disciples fast. We're John the Baptist disciples and we fast, but we notice your disciples don't fast. And reducing it down, Jesus says, well, as long as I'm with them, they don't really need to fast because I'm here. But the day will come when the bridegroom, him, will be taken away. Well, that's today, isn't it? He's not on planet Earth today, is he? And not in his glorified body. He in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, during that time, which is now, he's talking about his disciples, then shall they fast. Oh, and they hit me. I'm going, good God, these are those days. And I've called myself your disciple. See, all these years. And I have prayed. I have meditated the word. I had assimilated the word. I had done so many obedience areas, but boy, fasting wasn't one of them. The actual words I used were, Lord, I haven't fasted enough to fill a thimble full, you know, just a little bit. Got to remember, I was raised Southern Baptist, glory to God. And out of the hundreds of messages I heard from about age 5 till about age 16, thereabouts, I don't ever remember one on fasting. It's like fasting does not exist. Anyway, you know, it's fine. Or Gary, you're going to blame them? Sure, I got to blame somebody. No, I'm teasing. No, I had a Bible I could read. All I'm telling you is when it hit me, and that's a few years ago, my fasting life changed. And I've done more fasting since from then till now than I've ever done before. See, but now that he's calling us to this laser focus, will that work? Yep. Look, now that he's calling us to this laser focus on revival, when I pray and I get in his, seek his face and I get in his presence, well, this year he gave me personally some instructions on fasting that are different than I've ever heard or had before. It's wonderful. He is always kind and gentle to me. He hasn't given up on me. Aren't you glad he hadn't given up on you? But he gave me some instructions, and with his help, glory to God, so far, I've been able to obey them. And it's an increase in my fasting life again. And he's already told me there's going to be more, see? Well, I can't just ignore that and say I'm being obedient. I didn't look up the verse, but if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing. I can't even tell you the number of times over the years that I would quote that verse and like count myself, yes, I'm willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. But if I'd have looked at that list and come to the one, do you fast? No. No. And then how do you say you're obedient? Okay. If my people, we better go back to the verse, right? Gary, you done gone to meddling now. If my people, which are called by my name, first thing he says, shall humble themselves and pray. Praying is one of the most humbling things you can do. Praying in your known language is humbling. Praying in unknown tongues, I think, is even more humbling, because there you're admitting, I don't even know what I need to pray about. I don't even know what's wrong with me. I don't know what these strongholds are that causes me to keep doing that, whatever that is, you know, or keeps me from doing, like the fasting. What is it? You know, but he knows all that. And when you humble themselves and pray and seek my face, see, there's the intimacy part. You can't get away from the intimacy part. There's the blueprint. Come away with me, my beloved. Seek my face. Spend time with me. Get to know me. And turn from your wicked ways. Now, again, hopefully at this stage, it's not gross things like adultery and that type of thing. But what if it's hypocrisy? Okay, I've tried to be transparent with you, and I've talked about my weakness of fasting over the years. I'm overcoming that. What about you? What about you? Hypocrisy, where you know to do right, but you're not doing it. Where you would say to somebody else, do this, but you're not doing it. Boy, that's a wicked way. That's the very leaven of the Pharisees, the very leaven that he said, beware of that. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Let us be willing and obedient. Let's humble ourselves. He is gracious and kind and long-suffering and slow to anger, and he has not given up on you either. Seek his face. Spend time with him. Obey what he says. You'll be glad you did. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.